Herein I give my advice. And really that's all he could do. He does not put it in the category of a decree the way that I have heard some fundraisers do today. They intend to make people feel guilty in order to wrench their money out of them. And that is not God's way at all. And so Paul simply says, I give my advice. And you will notice this is expedient for you. That I am not doing it for my benefit. I'm not even doing it for the benefit of the saints at Jerusalem. Though they could certainly use it. And if you remember, I believe it was in the book of Romans that Paul wanted them to pray that the people at Jerusalem would take the offering. I mean, you bring it up there, but if they won't receive it, you hadn't accomplished a thing. And he really had reservations that they would even take the money. So here he's saying that I'm not doing this even for the benefit of the recipients at Jerusalem. He says, I am doing it for your benefit. It is expedient for you. And that means that a person must learn the joy and the ministry or have the grace of giving if we are going to come to full maturity in Christ. It is a very important part of our lives. So it is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, it's been a year since the Corinthians promised to take up this collection, to take up this offering for these poor saints at Jerusalem. We think of all of these disasters that we have had in recent months and years, the tsunami and then all of this terrible devastation in New Orleans by Katrina. Can you imagine what any of those people would be going through if they had to wait an entire year before they got any kind of assistance? You know, that would be a tragedy. And yet here, these saints at Jerusalem, they're still plugging along up there, but after a year, they still need the funds. And so Paul says, you began to do this a year ago, verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. And you agreed to do it a year ago, do it. It's that simple. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. This is a very, very important point in regard to our giving. Now the tithe is just tithe. It means 10%. And that belongs to God. That's not even our money. But here Paul is telling them, I want you to give of what you have. We're going to get into this here in these next few verses. I think it is so imperative that we understand what God is talking about of the matter of giving. Because there are people in our world today that actually try to get people to give money that they do not have. They want them to go in debt in order to give to their programs. And that is not scriptural. I don't care how wonderful it may sound, it is not scriptural. A few years ago, and they still use it today, they think it is so spiritual, but it is absolutely unscriptural. They came up with the term of making a faith promise. And that means that you are agreeing to give funds that you do not have. And Paul tells us plainly here that God tells us to give out of what we have. And so the Corinthians had it. That's the key here, is that the Corinthians, when they promised to give it, they had it. They were a wealthy assembly, and so it was not giving funds that they could not lay their hands on. They had them. Verse 12 is the first key. If there be first a willing mind. They had that. They had the willing mind to say, yes, we will do this. Only after a year, they hadn't done it. It is accepted, notice this, according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I say it this way. We cannot give what we do not have. And that applies not only to money, but anything that we have. We cannot give love that we do not have in our own heart. We can't give peace for peace that we do not have in our own heart. We can't give truth for truth that we don't have in our own heart. We have to have God give it to us first before we can give to others. And so that's what Paul is saying here, that man has to give according to that he hath, and not according to that he hath not, and not according to that he thinks he might get. And so this faith promise is really a myth that men use in order to extract funds from other people. Verse 13, I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened. Paul says, I am not trying to put all the burden on you people, and other people just go their own way and they just have a life of luxury while you're left trying to pay the bill. That's not what he's saying here. In verse 14, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance. Now contrast that with verse 2. The Macedonians gave out of their poverty. And Paul is asking the Corinthians to give out of their abundance. He says, you have it. It's just laying there. And you just have not followed through to do it. So at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want. Notice this, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And that is the way that God has designed it, to where that at one time we may be the one in need, and the next time we may be the one ministering to someone in need. There is an equality there, where that we all actually depend one on the other. And I have seen this happen in the lives of people. I knew a family here several years ago. They were really a very proud family, which is something that God really, pride has no quarter in anybody's life. And these people were so proud they wouldn't accept anything. And he, for some reason, his pension was cut off. And they just didn't have any money coming in. And there were people in this meeting that they were doing exactly what the Scripture says to do. They were trying to help. They were trying to minister to this in need. Oh, no, we don't. Well, finally it got so that they just didn't have anything. They had to start. They had to take this money or starve to death, one of the two. And so they finally swallowed their pride and they took the gifts that this assembly was offering them. And lo and behold, as quick as they took that gift, God restored the pension. It's just amazing what God can do. But it taught them the lesson, you know, that we all like to be on the giving side. We all like to be on the independent side. We all would like to be the one on the supply side. And no, we don't always, we don't want to be on the side of need. But I learned long ago that God says, you know, we need to learn to receive as well as to give. We really do. And so if we don't have that heart, then God may fix it to where that we're going to be the one and have to be. Well, here, this is what Paul is talking about, is an equality, where that we minister one to another, not just in money, but in many things, that we actually are dependent one on another. That's the way that God designed the body, and that's the way He wants the body of Christ to function. So by an equality, now at this time, your abundance will supply their need, but there may be a time that their abundance will supply your need. And then verse 15, and this is a verse that I came to love quite a number of years ago. I had taught the synthesis class, and I had taught how that God gave the manna so miraculously. And this puts the gathering the manna in great perspective. Verse 15, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. And this is when the light finally went on in my own heart. The principles that God gave to Israel concerning the manna are to be applied directly to money. the way that Israel conducted themselves in gathering the manna, the same thing applies. There are actually, if you go back and study them, which we're not going to do tonight, if you go back and study them, there are 8 grand and glorious principles that God outlines concerning money, or manna. The same principles apply to money. This is just one of them. I think this is probably the 8th. Just one. And so all of the rest of them also apply to our money. And so Paul puts this verse, which was given in regard to money, he puts it in manna, he puts it in the context of money. Verse 16, thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Paul continues to commend Titus for his tremendous efforts to the Corinthian saints in bringing them to maturity, and this time he's especially speaking of this grace of giving. Verse 17, indeed he accepted the exhortation. That is, Titus accepted undoubtedly Paul's exhortation to go down to Corinth. He would abide by that. Paul wrote to, I forget whether it was the Romans or the Corinthians, concerning Apollos, that he would go. And we don't read, at least I don't recall reading whether or not Apollos got there. I'm sure he probably did. But here we find that Titus did go down to Corinth, and probably a number of times. So he accepted that exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord. Paul says, I exhorted him to go, but it was really his own idea. It was his own desire to go down there, and not just at my prompting. It was because of his own love. And then in verse 18, he says, we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. This is an unidentified brother, his name not even mentioned, but he was evidently a very faithful man in terms concerning, or matters regarding money. He was undoubtedly a very trustworthy fellow, and perhaps he had ways of handling it. They didn't have Brinks and all of these various ways to transport it, and there was just as much difficulty of highway robbery and all of that that we hear about of that day. So it was a money that had money that had to be protected, and so perhaps this fellow was gifted in that way. But anyway, we read of this unidentified brother. His praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches. It means that he had a rather widespread reputation in this area, and so the churches actually chose him to travel with us with this grace, or with this gift that we are talking about. It was a very important and must have been quite a large sum of money, as Paul, considering the things that Paul says about it here in these next few verses. To travel with us, this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready minds. It really becomes, once again, Corinthians, it comes back as a testimony of the grace of God that is in you, the declaration of your own ready mind. Verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is ministered by us. Now, as I say again, it must have been a very, very large sum of money. And we have found, the world has found, the church has found, people have found over the years, that if you want to bring out greed, and if you want to bring out the worst in people, just give them a whole lot of money. And then you find out how honest that they are. And so Paul says here that we, because this was such a large sum of money, then we wanted to be absolutely blameless in the accounting of it. And so that is why that this one brother was chosen, because it seems he was so, he had such expertise in that area, and he was so honest in that area. And so Paul did not want the gospel to be blamed at all. So avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance. Well, what happened to all of that money? Paul did not want any kind of taint on that at all, which is administered by us. Verse 21, providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now, often today we find people, well, just so that God knows, that's good enough for me. Well, no, that's not good enough, because we are living our lives before God. We are before men. We also have to have an honest testimony before men if we are going to have any kind of a chance to minister the gospel to them. We must appear honest and must be honest. And that's what Paul says here. So we provide honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also men. Verse 22, we have sent with them our brother. Again, that's the same unidentified brother, whom we have noticed oftentimes proved diligent. It's again, he must have had a tremendous reputation in this regard. He was really trustworthy, and people far and wide knew about him. So he's proved diligent in many things. But now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Now, here's where that Paul just implants a thought in them. He has been telling them and exhorting them to get this money together. And so he is actually planting the idea that it really is going to be a large sum of money because of what he says here. He's oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence I have in you. I have this great confidence that you're going to put together this lavish offering that you promised a year ago. And so Paul giving a little more incentive along that line. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner. Once again, Paul commends Titus to them, wanting them to know that Paul is absolutely confident of this minister of the gospel. He's my partner. He's my fellow helper concerning you. Or our brother be inquired of. That is, this unidentified brother. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So they came with the highest of commendations from the Apostle Paul. Wherefore, show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love. And the proof of your love is to give this money that you had promised to give over a year ago. The proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. In other words, his final parting words in this matter is saying, Corinthians, don't disappoint me, because I've already bragged about you to these people, and it should be a great sum of money that is collected for these poor saints at Jerusalem. All right, this is as far as we'll go this evening. Any questions before we dismiss? Okay, we shall...